four downs run, so they may have run five downs.
Instead of the game being over, it appears that the Redskins get the fifth down.
And the cat is elusive. He's walking. He's walking to the three. He's at the two. Fielding the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
Snap, placement, kick by Hartley, and it is. It is good! It's good! It's good! Pigs have flown. Hell is frozen over. The Saints are on their way to the Super Bowl.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Fifth Down. We are here for the week one recap of the 2022 NFL season. It was kind of a crazy weekend of football. If you guys were living under a rock and you didn't get to watch it, you know, here you go. Here's the recap. Tooth is going to run down the score for you.
Okay, guys. So starting off the weekend, we had on Thursday night kickoff, Bills just taking the Rams to the woodshed, 31-10 at home. Just an ugly game from the Rams. Great game from the Bills. The legitimacy is there. On our Sunday games, of course, you had the Bears over the 49ers in probably the wettest game I have ever seen. Props to the sliding there. Steelers over the Bengals in a... what the hell? Competition of miscues.
Overtime,
just one of the greatest overtime games I've seen in a while. Eagles, Lions. Eagles stopped Lions 38-35. Dolphins over the Patriots 22-7. Ravens over the Jets 24-9. Commanders beat the Jaguars 28-22. Browns 26 over the Panthers 24. Again, another late comeback there. Our first tie of the year goes to the Colts and Texans at 20 apiece. The Giants beat the Titans 21-20 in a surpriser there. Vikings just making the Packers look like the Lions 23-7. Chiefs just dominating the Cardinals. The Cardinals didn't know what the hell was going on in this game. They never had a chance. 44-21. Chargers beating out the Raiders 24-19. And the Buccaneers defense just containing whatever the Cowboys had going on offense, 19-3. Then the Seahawks on Monday Night Football beating out the Denver Broncos in a very surprise win, 17-16. That Seahawks defense was on point. Better than I think we gave them credit for in the preseason. And then, of course, the most important game of the week. This New Orleans Saints, using only the fourth quarter, beat the Atlanta Falcons 27-26. Overcoming a monumental deficit of 16 points.
Yeah, we'll talk about a couple of these games. The first one I really want to get into probably would be the Bills and the Rams. That one happened on Thursday night. Opening day football. Everybody's excited. Everybody's happy. We got this game on the docket. We think it's going to be a good one. Possibly a Super Bowl preview. I hope not, because if it plays out like that, it'll be super boring. Basically, to me, the Rams looked like just they had no idea what they were doing with their offense. It looked like Matt Stafford to Cooper Kupp, and that was it. If you had anybody else in fantasy-wise off that team, Cam Akers, you know, any of the other receivers, I think Allen Robinson, just anyone like that, you just basically just forget about it. You've got zero off of them, right? It was almost like watching the old Lions with Stafford when he had Megatron for his receiver. It was like that was it. That was all they had, and that was the only connection that Stafford had on that team. And that felt like that, very reminiscent of that being played out again here in Los Angeles.
Yep. And I think they just didn't. There were so many miscues in that game. And credit to the Bills defense, man. They were there all day with pressure. Von Miller was the difference maker. That Bills defense, you know, a little bit of changes they made in the offseason, Von Miller is going to bring them over the top. I'm willing to say that they're the best defense in the NFL right now. I think Pittsburgh and Seattle showed amazing play.
Okay, we're going to talk about the Seattle game in a little bit too, because I think you're having a knee jerk overreaction to the Seattle game, and we'll talk about that.
Okay,
coming up.
That's fine. But I'm just telling you that the Bills defense is probably going to be the number one.
The Bills defense is definitely legit. I mean, I wasn't sold on them being possible Super Bowl champions until they signed Von Miller. Once they signed Von Miller, that pretty much solidified that defense, and that put me, you know, very, very high on them for the Super Bowl. And I do have the Bills picked as my winner for the Super Bowl at this moment.
And I think that's
may
fair.
Change, but for right that's now, fair. That's it. And that was what I picked before, probably about like 3 or 4 months ago when I placed my first bet.
So who do you think is the NFC? Who are they facing in the Super Bowl?
The NFC? I'm going to go strong. I saw a lot of resiliency out of this team this week. They didn't give up. There's a lot of heart. They still have some growing pains to do. A lot of connections need to be made. But if the Saints can keep on rolling from this pickup, I would say Bills and Saints, and I would pick the Bills at the end. As much of a Saints fan as I am, looking at the rest of the NFC play right now, that's who I have. They showed the most heart. They showed the most want. A lot of people sold out on Trey Lance, and I just didn't see that. I know it was a sloppy game, probably the worst field conditions
that was,
you could possibly
that
have.
That was the worst game for him.
It's really not a great place to judge him on. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not sold on him already, and that did nothing to boost my confidence in him. I also think that's why they kept Jimmy Garoppolo.
You know, having your cake and eat it too, it's just the situation there. And I agree with you. I don't see another team. I mean, the NFC was just very sloppy.
The Eagles is another good team. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's definitely going to be a Saints. And you know, I do pay a lot of attention to them. I am a homer when it comes down to it. But I'm not one to jump up and say, hey, Saints are going to the Super Bowl. Looking at the way that the NFC played this week, right now the Saints are probably the top team in the NFC with the heart and everything that they have to get where they had to go. They fought back to get back where they to win that game.
They won in a way. We'll get to that later, but I think you're right. You were talking about Trey Lance, okay? Yep. I mean, what do you expect from any quarterback in that game, right?
Okay, let's look at some stats. Let's look at Justin Fields compared to Trey Lance.
Justin Fields was 8-for-17 for 121 yards. 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. Okay.
Okay.
Trey Lance was 13-for-28, 164 with 1 pick.
No touchdowns
with more completions. So,
like I said, this is a hard game to judge him on, but I wasn't sold on him to start with, right? I never had Trey Lance as like, I mean, you can go back to the draft when they picked him. I questioned this pick the second they did it. You know,
and
I
look,
mean, go back
Lance,
to that draft
had,
years ago.
He had 13 carries for 54 yards on the ground, which in this kind of game with the rookie quarterback, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, but when you have a guy like
water off the field,
but you have a running back like in Deebo Samuels and Elijah Mitchell who got injured. Now he has a sprained MCL. He'll be out for 6 to 8 weeks at this point. But you had other guys stepping up, you know, Jeffrey Wilson and all of that stepping up. You have other guys you can do it to. I don't want my quarterback, and especially on a field this bad and this sloppy, running the ball. This is not a good place for healthy knees, you know, and that's going to be what ends his career fast. It's going to be healthy knees. Just go ask Robert Griffin III, right? I mean, RG3 came out, blew everybody away that first season, one knee injury, and career is done. Never came back the same. Teddy Bridgewater, decent start to his career. Massive, 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 horrible knee injury in practice. Never was the same quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, that is important, you know, and especially with a guy who's going to be a running quarterback. Your quarterback should not lead your team in rushing.
This is true. And, I mean, there's no – look, Deebo Samuel had 52 yards. Mitchell had 41. He goes down with a multi-week injury. He's going to be out for, like, 2 months with
his injury. Yeah, they placed him on IR today. And so he's going to be out for at least the 6 weeks required on IR, plus more time. But, I mean, sprained MCL, bad injury on a knee. It's not something to play with. You gotta do a lot of rehab to come back from something like that.
Yep, that will affect my fantasy value. So, yeah, that game was just messy. But, you know, Chicago pulled it out, man. They their defense looked pretty solid as well. Facing to do it in that conditions, because it's not easy for a defense either in those conditions. No. Like that's it's easy for no one. The hardest thing to do in that is throw the ball, because the rain is coming down sideways. The physics works against you for anything more than a 5 or 10 yard pass, right? It's just you're going.
Yeah, it was just a bad situation to play football. I mean, fun for the fans to watch. I mean, you know, slip and slide and playing all over the field. Very reminiscent of old days of football. You know, I remember growing up, we used to take the ball out when it rained. We used to make sure it rained and then go out and play so we could have that kind of, you know, have that kind of game. But like I said, it wasn't a great debut for Trey Lance as your starting quarterback. I think it shows a lot that San Francisco did not deal Garoppolo before the season. You know, they were able to rework his deal, and they're still not trying to deal him off to another team. I don't know, man. I'm not there on Trey Lance. A lot of people are. I'm just not there. Another game I wanted to talk about real quick, Buccaneers Cowboys. Dak Prescott goes down with an injury. Thumb injury, I believe it is. Yes. He's projected anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks. They are not placing him on IR. Jerry Jones stated that today they're going to keep him on the active roster, which means they don't plan on and going out and grab another quarterback for the time being. They're going to go with Cooper Rush as their quarterback for the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't look terrible last year. He's a serviceable backup, so why go out there and waste money?
Because
when you're trying to get Mike McCarthy fired anyway.
Well, I mean, that might be it. You know, maybe that's just it. We're not going out and getting another quarterback because we're going to have Sean Payton as the head coach of the Cowboys next year. I did want to point out something on this game real quick. I don't want to talk about it very long because it was a very long and boring game. But the Cowboys are the only team in Week 1 to not score a touchdown.
Yes.
You know, that is how effective their offense was with Dak Prescott on the field for 3 out of the 4 quarters.
And credit to Tampa's defense, right?
Tampa has a good defense, but, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, and we talked about this, and like I said, I just want to sum it up real quick. The Cowboys don't have a lot out there. Their ability to be out there is CeeDee Lamb, because they never replaced Amari Cooper, right? Michael Gallup is on the bench. You know, they have CeeDee Lamb, who in my eyes is your pure number two receiver, playing the number one role with nobody backing him up. So it's not a good situation there in Dallas. If you're a fan, you're probably not watching this podcast because we like to dog them. But if you are, you're in for a rough time. Next game, I want to go Steelers Bengals.
Absolutely. I was going to say that. Oh boy. Just wow. Okay. Yeah. let's see. Let me pull out the box score exactly how many missed kicks there were. Okay. Boswell was 3 for 4. McPherson was 2 for 3. Both of these guys in overtime miss a game-winning field goal.
Yes. McPherson also missed an extra point, which would have gave them the game.
Yes. So you're talking about two.
Which that was McPherson's like worst showing ever.
Ever.
Their long snapper
was phenomenal last year.
Their long snapper did get hurt, and if you watch those two kicks that he missed, there was definitely mechanical, you know,
issues.
But there was definitely issues with the snap and the placement. So that does
laces out.
It makes a big difference to the kicker. I mean, it turned Ray Finkel into Einhorn because Einhorn is Finkel, Finkel is Einhorn. You know, I mean, it did all of that. So Lace has got to be out. You got to have those mechanics down. And if those guys aren't ready to go, you know, bad things happen and you don't win games. And that's what we saw here in the Steelers. Big injury in this game, too. TJ Watt went out with a – they say it's not a torn pec, strain, major strain. Anywhere
out, when I saw him go off the field and he was holding right here, I'm like, oh, he fucked his pec up.
He actually yelled it out that he tore his pec. But it turns out it's not, just severely injured. So he's going to be out in here for 4 to 6 weeks, which is good news for them because if it was torn, he'd be done for the season.
Yes.
So best case scenario for the Steelers, he's back in 4 weeks. Worst case, 6, maybe a little bit more. But you do get your star pass rusher back with TJ Watt.
And look, you have – okay, so even – and in the, you know, Pittsburgh, you've got Deontay Johnson was already coming in hurt. He had a shoulder issue that still was giving him trouble, yet he still pulls 11 targets for 7 receptions, 55 yards, including the game-tying reception that set him up for the game-tying score there. So,
yeah, let's
Trubisky looked good.
21 for 38, 194 yards, 1 touchdown.
I would be very happy if I am Pittsburgh. He looked better than Big Ben did last year, and he's only going to go up, I think, from here. He's in a really good spot.
Yeah, Trubisky caught a lot of crap with the Bears, and a lot of that was Matt Nagy's fault. You know, and it soured the ownership on Trubisky and the GM on Trubisky. So when Matt Nagy left, you know, it was Justin Fields' place to take over, and that's why, you know, Trubisky got shipped out of there. But I always felt like he had a bad rap there, so hopefully this Pittsburgh thing can be a revival to his career. Joe Burrow's stats,
this is where I was surprised. I mean,
all I can say is wow,
the Pittsburgh
right?
defense was able to look. TJ Watt is an amazing player, and he makes a difference in your team. And these stat lines show it, right? Joe Burrow, one of the most accurate guys last year, made it to the Super Bowl. 33 for 53. He attempted 53 passes.
Mm-hmm.
2 touchdowns, 4 picks, 7 sacks.
Yeah, 338 yards.
7 sacks.
Any revamp that they did to their offensive line was not enough. They were up Burrow's butt. I did flip to this game for the entirety of the Saints' third quarter, part of the fourth before the comeback happened. I'm not ashamed to say that. I did flip back to this game because I wanted to see some actual football being played, and these were the only two games available to me at the time. So I didn't get a lot of good football played at that noon slot on Sunday. So, you know, my choice was Pittsburgh and the Bengals and the Saints and Falcons. So it took all the way to that last quarter to get some real football shown. But
got was really good.
Yeah, this is not indicative to what Joe Burrow is going to be for this season. This is just – I think this is that fluke game. You know, they were and we saw a lot of this, right? We saw a lot of starting quarterbacks that you think are going to be solid and good, and they threw a lot of interceptions this week. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, you know, two of the top guys that we talked about throughout the offseason, these are going to be your guys. Yeah, Stafford threw a couple of them. You know, those guys, and they turned the ball over. I mean, not something you want to see, but it's almost like without that fourth preseason game, this week one of the NFL is your new preseason.
And I think that's a fair comparison, right? I mean, you're talking about, you know, Matthew Stafford throwing three picks, you know, one touchdown. Then you have
Josh Allen with two.
Josh Allen with two. But I mean, that's more on the defenses there than the quarterbacks. But the Joe Burrow thing, again, I think Pittsburgh's defense is really good, and Joe Burrow had a bad game too. You're talking about rushing. Look, rushing, you know, Najee Harris looked like he had a pretty, you know, the Pittsburgh couldn't get anything going on the ground. And I think that's what really killed him. Chase Claypool was their leading rusher, and he got like one long run, and that's what put him over the top of 15 yards, right? He had like it was a reverse, and he just kind of came out the backfield and picked it up. Six carries for 36. Najee Harris had 10. You know, most of the damage was done in the passing game for Pittsburgh. And then for Cincy, you know, Joe Mixon had 27 carries for 82 yards. Joe Burrow got on the action with 4 for 47. Jamar Chase is being Jamar Chase. 10 receptions, 129 yards, touchdown. The rest of the receiving tree gets a little skinnier after that.
Yeah, T. Higgins went down with an injury earlier in that game too.
Yes. So Tyler Boyd kind of stepped up there, and Joe Mixon to fill in that void. But
a testament to the Bengals, right? Four turnovers, and you only lost the game by three in overtime. I mean, I'm not saying that's a great thing to have, but you know,
I was watching this with Sean, and we were like, what are you doing? He was so mad because he's a defensive guy, right? Like he played defense and played linebacker, and he just was like, what are you doing? You don't deserve this. And right. We were just watching it go back and forth, and we were like, is he going to hit? Oh, my God, he missed a field goal. So we were enjoying the shit out of that game.
Continue. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step in on
you. No. It was great. It was good football. And this is, you know, this is where like people panic on week one, and week one is full. There are more bad takes than bad plays in week one, and there's more panic. And I hate that. Week one is going to be, I have never seen a smooth week one. I don't know about you. I can't think of a smooth week one that every team that was supposed to win won. All the spreads were covered. There were no surprises, no overtimes, no ties.
Yeah, it's definitely, speaking of ties, let's go there. Colts and Texans, the only teams in the league with no wins and no losses at this point.
Exactly.
Played a game.
I mean, look, the Colts looked like doo-doo until the fourth quarter. Okay.
Right.
It's just, you cannot sit there and tell me that the Colts are supposed to win this division when I see this play.
I don't
Jacksonville.
Understand.
Jacksonville looks like they're going to win the division. Okay,
but I don't understand.
That's the play I saw.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, this division has no wins in it. Not a team won in this division, right?
This is true.
You know, but looking at the whole thing, you're looking at the stat lines. Matt Ryan, 32 for 50, 352, one touchdown, one interception. Jonathan Taylor, 31 yards, 161 yards, one touchdown. You know, it's like you have a lot of movement on the ball. You have over 500 yards of offense, and you were only able to put it in the end zone twice. So,
and it was all in the fourth quarter.
You know, you weren't completing in the red zone. We talked about this last year with Arizona. They weren't completing in the red zone.
Let's talk about Davis Mills. Look at Davis Mills on the other side, though.
Yeah, I mean,
this is encouraging. 23 for 37, 240, two touchdowns, no picks. Okay, the guy gives you a little bit of a rushing threat, but he didn't get any. You know, it took a couple rushes, but he got -1 yards, right? The biggest question on Houston is their running game. They're going to be – Jeff Driscoll got a carry for 5 yards. Okay.
Yeah. Damian Pierce is supposed to be their breakout rookie this year. He only had 11 carries for 33 yards, 3 yard average. And then you had Rex Burkhead, who led the way with 14 carries for 40 yards. 2.9 average. So
the way to describe Davis Mills' play was efficient. He made the most out of every pass he took.
Brandon Cooks was your manager. He was your manager for the game, and he just didn't. You know, they just fell just a tad short.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks. Oh, sorry. Brandon Cooks, 11 receptions for them for 7 for 82, while Michael Pittman on the Colts side, 9 for 121 with a touchdown. O.J. Howard had the two scores for them. He basically he basically just caught two touchdown 20-yard
passes. Two catches.
That's what he did. That's what he did.
That's the epitome of efficiency.
You can chase that in fantasy if you want, guys. That's a very skinny receiving tree. So that you know might not be a bad idea.
Okay, now let's talk about the biggest news to come out of this. The Colts went ahead and released Rodrigo Blankenship today. Their kicker, which I think is a horrible move on their part. You know, yes, he did have some issues this week. He kicked two balls out of bounds on kickoffs, and he had the one miss. But there's not a whole lot of other kickers out there.
Who are you going to bring in?
You know, and now you have someone like Kansas City who – lost Harrison Butker to injury. You know, you just gave him Rodrigo Blankenship on a silver platter for them to bring in for the next few weeks while Butker heals. So, you know, good job, Indianapolis.
Look, Frank Reich, I think, is a better coach than what we saw on the field. And Lovie Smith just shows that experienced hand. We thought he was the mercy hire.
He was what we thought he was.
No. But at the end of the day,
I know that's Romeo Crimel, but you know.
Was that even Romeo?
Yeah, that was Romeo, I believe. They are who we thought they were. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. So yeah, but I mean, he comes in and the steady hand, the veteran coach, and he's able to put the Texans into a position where they don't, you know, they go in 20 and then, you know, in the fourth quarter, come back and still get the tie. So, I mean, you're now tied for first place with zero wins and zero losses.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, it is what it is. Okay. I want to talk about two more games real quick before we get there. And one of them is just going to be real quick. I wanted to jump in on this game. I wanted to go Packers-Vikings because I have to say, ha-ha, to Aaron Rodgers. You know, way
dude,
to go.
His receivers were just nowhere. I mean, dude, that I have not seen people more off ever.
Yeah, and, I mean, you know my love for Rodgers, and, you know, I have to stick it to him.
And look, their rushing game couldn't get anything going either, right?
Yeah,
Minnesota's defense really stood up. Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon did not get 100 yards on the ground together.
Yeah, you had Aaron Rodgers' stat line of 22 for 34, 195 yards, zero touchdowns, and one interception. You know, Jordan Love came in. He was 4 for 5 for 65 yards, way more productive than Aaron Rodgers. It was garbage time, though. So then you had Aaron Jones, 5 for 49, 9.8 yard average, which is fantastic, by the way. That is what you're searching for. But then you had A.J. Dillon with their only touchdown, 10 carries for 45 yards. That comes to 4.5 if you're not paying attention.
And if Dillon also caught five, he was the leading receiver for Green Bay as well, catching five balls for 46 yards.
Yeah, because they didn't have anything. Look, their guys were dropping. You know, you can't go in with what you have. You have nothing. And the fact, you know, they still haven't done anything. They brought in a bunch of hacks, you know, older guys to come back and do this again, right? We're going to bring back Sammy Watkins, you know.
Three for 18. Randall Cobb, 2 for 14, right?
Right. That is your names on your receiving list. You got to do something.
And look, Scandling, you know, MVS, he was supposed to be the guy. He goes down with injury, so that doesn't help. But look on the Minnesota side, right? I was really impressed with Kirk Cousins' play. He was 23 for 32, 277, two scores. Dalvin Cook, gets his chunk plays in, 20 carries for 90 yards. Justin Jefferson is just 9 catches for 184 yards, 2 touchdowns. The guy was just everywhere on the field.
He's insane.
He's the best receiver in week one. I was kind of always ribbing on Corey because he had auto draft in our fantasy league, and he took Justin Jefferson first overall. And I was like, why did you not put Jonathan Taylor there? And, you know, Justin Jefferson comes out, does that. And because we're doing PPR format, I think this is
the smartest play. I mean, he made us all look. Everybody who questioned him, you know.
Look, auto draft championships, right? Look, Adam Thielen was next on the receiving tree with 3 receptions for 36 yards. This Minnesota goes through Justin Jefferson, and this is the problem that they're going to face later, right? Because Green Bay doesn't have shutdown corners. They have good corners, but they don't have shutdown corners. Okay.
No, but I say here, they're just going to double up on Jefferson. They're going to do that. But if you do that, that brings Adam Thielen open. And you know just as I do that Adam Thielen is very serviceable as a receiver, and he is going to keep on getting you it's just going to switch. Well, yeah.
It is true.
But, I mean, look, for some reason there's this hatred of Kirk Cousins throughout the league. I don't get it personally. He's always been the quietest, one of the better quarterbacks out there that gets no love at all. It's just a constant hatred for him, and I don't understand it. Maybe I'm just not – I don't have my finger on the pulse of that, but the Vikings fans hate him. But Kirk Cousins is not the reason y'all are losing games. You know, there's always something that happens, and it's never Kirk Cousins' fault. You know, it just – y'all blame him, but it doesn't fall on Kirk Cousins. It's a missed field goal. It's a fumble from Dalvin Cook. It's Dalvin Cook going down with no backup. You know, it's some other reason, but Kirk Cousins always gets the hate.
Yeah, and I mean, I always thought that Kirk Cousins was a, you know, at least middle of the road guy.
I think he's actually one of the top quarterbacks. I mean, top 10, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, he's
in the league at this moment.
He's never had a good offensive line, and he's never had a better receiving corps than he's had now.
I mean, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He takes all the hate, but let's see who he worked with. He worked with the Redskins. They were still the Redskins at this point. So I'm still going to say he was with the Redskins, and you know how they were. You know, he gets traded from them to the Vikings, and they were going through that transition of, we don't have a running back anymore. We just got rid of Adrian Peterson. We're trying to find our way. They're going through this garbage. You know, yes, they had Diggs and they had Thielen, you know. They put something together, and you know, but still the constant hate for Cousins I never got. I mean, yeah, that's all.
He's one of the best quarterbacks of the week.
Yeah.
I mean, he led that team to that win.
Yeah. And then let's talk about the last and final game. We're going to break into the best game of the week. Our favorite game.
You mean the best quarter of the week?
Sure. Best quarter of the week. That would be the Saints and the Falcons, right? The Falcons, once again, in great fashion, choked away a victory after a 16-point lead with 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I don't know if this team is ever going to shake that. I feel like that's just part of Atlanta now, is blowing leads. And
yeah,
the minute that I saw them start to try to not lose the game, I was like, all right, we got a shot. But look, credit to the Saints for coming alive. Credit to the gut check.
Credit to coaching for not laying
look,
up.
Dennis Allen. Okay, Dennis Allen was one of the best, if not the best, second half adjusters in the game.
Yes.
We saw that on defense
plenty of times. Yeah.
Time and time again. We come out, we're like, holy crap, they're running all over us. Halftime comes. He goes back in the room. He works his magic with the defense. They come back out. They shut the team down.
Yeah, Cordell Patterson.
It happened. It happened with everybody. Okay.
Yeah. Cordell Patterson, 22 carries for 120 yards, and you had Marcus Mariota, 12 carries for 72 yards.
Yes. I mean, then in that final quarter, you shut all of it down. And Cordell Patterson, okay, Cordell Patterson, Deebo Samuel, Derrick Henry, you know, like there's guys that are just hard to guard. And Cordell Patterson is a linebacker with running back moves and receiver skills. The guy is one of the most talented athletes in the NFL. Okay. And I'll put him up there with Deebo Samuel and some of these other guys. The guy is an unbelievable player. And there's no receivers that can do that in the league. There's just not.
Let's give kudos to the Falcons all the way around because they played a fantastic game.
They played
11 minutes
lights
or so, right?
Out defense.
So, Marcus Mariota came out. It was very surprising to see him play the way he played. I did not give him any credit at all going into this season. And, I mean, dude went 20 for 33, 215 yards, right? His lack of receivers is the reason why he doesn't have a touchdown on the books right now. It wasn't from lack of trying. It's from lack of receivers. And we can go down and see that because you have Drake London, their rookie, who was their top receiver. Five catches for 74 yards. And then you had Olamide Zaccheaus. Sure. Mm-hmm. 4 for 49. And then you had the lovely Kyle Pitts, you know, tank on fantasy with 2 catches for 19 yards. You know, I mean, it's just
this
you don't have
a
lot
one,
of production out
is,
of your receivers there.
This is a week one game. Look, Taysom Hill led us in rushing. 4 rushes for 81 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah,
I mean,
you could see it in the offensive line that we didn't have.
That's the other guy, right? So Taysom Hill, Cordell Patterson, Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
They're the only three like that.
Yeah, four carries for 81 yards. He put the Saints' only touchdown in the first half on the board. And then the fourth quarter happened.
And look, Jameis was 23 for 34, 269, 2 touchdowns.
0 interceptions. We got to say that every week that he doesn't have one. 0 interceptions.
0 interceptions.
Because all he does is catch crap for interceptions. And he led this team back to a win with 0 interceptions.
Yes. And it was one of the most gut check. You know, it reminded me of some of the games with Teddy Bridgewater a couple years ago, right? Mm-hmm. It was just a really gut check time. The backup guy who get his shot again. And I think Jameis, he found his rhythm in that.
And he almost got taken out of the game. I mean, he went into the blue tent.
Dude,
you know,
he is so tough. The level of maturity, the level of calm, the level of poise, he is officially a veteran quarterback.
Yeah.
And he's a guy you can trust your offense to. Because
Definitely.
He showed, I mean, when you talk about Jameis last year with Tampa versus him taking the reins now, this game shows all the work that he's been putting in and it's paid off. And Jameis, hats off to your brother. You are going to be the guy. And you just keep yourself healthy. You keep doing what you're doing. You keep building that chemistry. It is going to be an amazing season, and you are going to be with this team for a while, my friend.
Yeah, we just need to tweak that offensive line a little bit here.
And I think that's it. It's just the line. He didn't have a lot of time to throw. He was scrambling all day.
But even that came together in that fourth quarter, right? Because we're looking at go look at the numbers. You had Jarvis Landry, 7 receptions, 114 yards. Michael Thomas. 5 catches, 57 yards, with the two passing touchdowns. So For everybody who said Michael Thomas is done, he's wiped, he's over. Boom. Numbers don't lie, my friend. That's it. Michael Thomas is back in the Saints uniform. He actually looks like he wants to be here. You know, they did an interview with him and Jameis after the game was over, and their rapport together was fantastic. Michael Thomas looks like he wants to be here. And he's got
a productive Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
Jarvis Landry was all over the field. He was picking up chunk gain after chunk gain. I mean, they got 7 receptions, 114 yards, right? He was our number one receiver.
Yeah, we had Michael Thomas, 5 for 57. So we had Juwan Johnson, 2 for 43, and Chris Olave with 3 for 41. So I mean, very productive on your receiving core. You know, you didn't rely on your tight ends. We did not get that long shot that I really want to see, the deep ball, but that had a lot to do with the lack of time that Jameis Winston had in the first three quarters.
Yeah, and look, going back to how this was won, I mean, look at the turnover battle, right? You know, Atlanta had 3 turnovers, lost 2. We had 1 and we lost it. Mark Ingram fumbled. And, I mean, that really wasn't on him. That was just a good play on defense.
That play, I mean, Jameis fumbled the snap, picked it up, handed it off to threw it to Ingram. And then Ingram took off to go down the field, and he got hit.
He didn't go down. He was on top of a pile. He was on top of other bodies, and they popped the ball out. So I mean, it's one of those things you don't want to see those turnovers at all. But it wasn't a bad turnover because of the offense. It was a defensive thing, and it wasn't like some of the interceptions that we saw during the third quarter. Yes.
But, like I said, it was a rough game to watch. Like I said, I was definitely going back between Cincinnati and
look, Honey Badger and Bradley Roby both recovered a turnover. So, I mean, you can't fault that. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu brought a level to this defense that we needed. It didn't look like it in the first three quarters, you know, just because they were running on us constantly. Which, again, that's more of the front. And Sean was pointing out some of the linebacker play. You know, maybe are our guys a little older? Are they not as energized on defense?
We had Dennis Allen,
you could tell he had to kind of come in at the half and say, okay. He was calling some defensive plays in the third and the fourth quarter.
But, I mean, look at it. You had Pete Werner back there why can't I ever remember his name off the top of my head right now? And it's making me look stupid.
With Marcus May and.
Well, I mean, like I said, Pete Werner led the team with 11
tackles. DeMario Davis and yeah.
There you go. I could not think of DeMario's name. And he had a quiet game for him. I mean, DeMario Davis is usually out there and you usually see him. And we did not record a single sack this entire game. Which is not something we're used to seeing. And they were back there.
Especially against Atlanta.
But Mariota was just getting the ball out. He was getting the ball away. And he's mobile. And that's always been his stick. And, you know, but all that said and done, you saw a team that did not give up. You saw a team that fought to the end. And like I said, I've toyed around with it in my head over and over again. Leading up into this week, you know, thinking the Saints can actually, you know, I've already said I believe the Saints are going to win the division. Looking at what I see out of the rest of the NFC at this moment in time, I don't see a road to stop the Saints from going all the way this year. You know, I mean, anything can happen. I mean, we can look at Tampa, but Tom Brady doesn't look like Tom Brady of old. You know, he actually looks like an old Tom Brady. So. Is this finally going to be his year? Is this going to be where he finally calls it a wrap? You know, we're going to see. But that's all I want to get about on the games. We have to do our recap, right, on our picks. How'd you do?
I ended up, I believe, 2 for 2. So let me look and see.
Yeah, I'm bringing up mine.
I came down, so I think I had the Rams, the Eagles, the Colts, and the Dolphins. So I was 2 for 2. 1.5. 2 for 1.5?
2.5 for 1.5?
Yeah, because of the tie? I don't know how that works.
how does that go?
I don't have to take the money line on the Colts because, like, I just basically got the app set up right before the game started. So
yeah, I ended up 2 for 2. Finished with Denver and Seattle Cincinnati both losing, and the Commanders and the Chargers winning. So I finished up 2 for 2 on that one.
Yeah, so technically won this week.
I don't know. I'm not giving that. I don't know how we're gonna score that. You're 2-1-1. You're 2-1-1. All right. So games this week. I'll let you go first.
All right. Totally forgot about this. So week 2. All right. I'm gonna start with Chicago at Seattle.
Okay. I don't have a pen to write this down, so I hope you're...
Wait, no. Hang on. That's preseason. Oops.
Yeah, look at week two.
Week 2. Speaking of pens, the penis might you.
You're sitting on a gold mine, man.
This is what I get for rushing today. All right, to hell with it. So, Los Angeles to Kansas City. Chargers to KC.
Okay, that'll be my first one. I'm going to give you Dolphins-Ravens.
Ooh. All right, you're going to get the Commanders at Detroit.
I knew it. I knew that's where you were going. You know what? I'll give you Colts and Jags.
Jacksonville. Then I will give you Seattle and San Francisco.
All right. All right, your next one is going to be Cardinals-Raiders.
Ooh.
Both of those teams are looking for a bounce back, so that's going to be a tough one to figure out.
Yes. And then I am going to give you Chicago at Green Bay.
Damn it. That was where I was going for you next. You know what? I'll finish off your week with Vikings-Eagles.
All right.
All right, so you know what, I'll give defense a run on that. And you said Chicago, Green Bay. All right, so my picks this week are going to be a loss. I'm not going to win this week. I can tell you that already. But I'm going to go KC over the Chargers, Detroit over the Commanders. Seattle over San Francisco, because I do like that defense. I think that's going to be their key right there. And Green Bay over Chicago.
All right. Give me Miami over Baltimore. Give me Jacksonville over Indy. I'll take Vegas over Arizona. And then I am going to... I'm going to go with Philly over Minnesota. I think they have something to prove. And I just got a feeling that's going to be a high-scoring game. In fact, I'm going to say this is going to be the highest-scoring game of the week.
Very possible. Two very prolific offenses. Yeah.
So we'll lock that in.
We got two Monday night games this week. Yeah, we got Bills and Titans and... Vikings Eagles. Why are we doing two Monday night games? That's just crazy. It's not like that every week, is it? No. Okay. All right. Whatever. That's weird. I'm sorry. It just took me a little bit off guard there. I mean, that's all I got for this week. You know,
I'm good. We're at 40.
We're hitting about an hour right now. Yeah. So, you know, that's all I got. You know, tune in next week, Tuesday, same time, 9:00. We'll be doing that every week from here to the end of the season.
And if you're listening on the pod, this will be up right after the show. So, you know.
Yeah. You know, like, share, subscribe. Check us out on Anchor for our podcast, along with Apple and Google. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. You know, if you want another way to check us out on the live broadcast, see our pretty faces. That's where you can go. Other than that, that's all I got. See y'all next week.
All right, guys. Peace.
Deuces.